Okay, it talks about peace, but shalom really means something way deeper. Okay? The word shalom means complete, complete or whole. The picture that one person gave in their definition was that shalom is really like, it's like a brick wall or a rock wall with no holes or cracks in it, okay? Nothing is compromised. This brick wall is complex. It's very complex with lots of pieces. But it is in a state of completeness or wholeness. It is in a state of peace. Another way of saying it is shalom speaks to an inner completeness, an inner completeness. Okay, I want to do something fun this morning. Like I said, it's an interactive morning, and I've always wanted to do this. I've heard other like pastors, teachers do this. I've been to churches that do this, but in our church, we just don't do it, and so it's kind of weird. What I want you to do is touch your neighbor on the shoulder and say, "Don't you go building that wall. Come on." One more time. "Don't you go building that wall." Okay. Some of you guys were hugging. That's a little different than what I said. Touch your neighbor on the shoulder and say, "Don't you go building that wall." That's good. Okay. All right, let me tell you guys a story. A couple of weeks ago, we were... Look how excited you guys are. I can't even get you quiet. Oh, my gosh. Interactive Sunday. Okay, A couple of weeks ago, we were experiencing a wonderful, wonderful Texas winter day. That means it was 70 degrees outside. It was sunny. And it was just feeling great. So I was like, man, we are going to take our kids to the park. So we went on a walk to the park. It's a park right by our house. It's so cool. It's enclosed. It's got woods around it, you know. And we really consider it like our park. Do y'all do that when you, this is like my thing. And when we got there, there were other people in our park. And we were like, what is going on here? But we like people, you know. So we want to tell them about Jesus. So we met this family there, and, you know, this family had four kids. We have four kids. They had two twin daughters that were seven. My daughter is seven. Man, they connected right away. So I'm talking to the husband. My wife is talking to the wife. Eva, my oldest, starts talking with the twin daughters, and they just ran off, just went and had a blast. They were having so much fun. Such a great Texas winter day. By the way, the very next day, it was cold and wet, which is Texas. But this day was beautiful. Eva goes off and is playing with these two twin girls, and I just got so excited. You know, you just get excited anytime your kids meet a new friend, make a friend, and they're really enjoying it. You're just like, this is so good. So I just let them go. They go and they're playing. They're running through the woods. They're playing in the playground. They're back out there all over. I'm just thinking, this is so good. This family is going to get saved. We are going to build this relationship. They're going to get saved. About 20 minutes later, Eva comes back, and she comes real close to me, and she's grabbing my arm, and she's got tears in her eyes, and she's turning away from anyone who can come close. She's turning away from anyone. The girls are coming. Well, they're not really coming. They're not playing together anymore. But she doesn't want to see her parents, their parents, and she just wants to go home. So we go home, and we're processing with Eva. I'm like, "Eva, what happened?" She said, "Dad, I have never been able to share the love of Jesus." That's like code word for our family, like, we're going to share the gospel. You want to share the love of Jesus with someone? "I've never been able to do it, Dad. And this was my first time. This was my first time to share the love of Jesus." And she begins to have tears in her eyes. And so I told them, "Dad, I said, did you know that God loves you? And that he sent Jesus to die for you?" And if you give Jesus your heart, that's another way that we just describe it as a family. Give Jesus your heart. If you give Jesus your heart, he will give you eternity with God in heaven. And she said, and they said to me, God is not real. Neither is heaven. Heaven is not real. And my daughter must have been shocked. And so she's looking at them, maybe just wondering, puzzled, you know? And they told her, stop looking at us that way. You're going to give us nightmares. And then they told her, we don't want to be your friend anymore. And so that's when she came back. Man, what just happened there? What just happened there? I'll tell you what just happened there. A parent's worst nightmare just happened there. I'm like, man, that's what happened. No, but seriously, what happened here? Eva lost her peace. Eva lost her peace. You see, God created Eva to have this, Eva to be a perfectly built together wall. To have shalom, right? No cracks in it. No compromised spots, no holes. Eva has just gone from peace to pain, and she has experienced something that has put some cracks or holes in her wall, and she is about to rebuild. Touch your neighbor and say, don't you go building that wall. Come on, let's do it again. Don't you go building that wall. Okay. All right. So, we've been going through a sermon series titled, His Name Shall Be Called. His Name Shall Be Called. And it's from Isaiah 9:6, which is an amazing Christmas verse. You know, it says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This morning we're going to be talking about the Prince of Peace. We're going through the names of Jesus, and this is one of them. He's the Prince of Peace. That word peace is the word that we learned this morning, shalom. He is the Prince of Shalom. He is the one who can take a complex and broken life, like that complex brick wall that we talked about, and make it complete with no holes or cracks in it, right? He can take a life and put it in a state of completeness or wholeness. He can put it in a state of peace. He can bring it to inner completeness. That is what the Prince of Peace can do. In John 14:27, Jesus said it like this, peace I leave with you. My peace, the peace that I experience, I give to you. And then he said this curious thing. I do not give to you as the world gives. I do not give to you as the world gives. So here's a question. How do we encounter this Prince of Peace? How do we encounter this Prince of Peace? How do I get that goodness in me? Right? Anybody? I mean, let me ask you a rhetorical question. I'm going to give you a clue. Everyone should raise their hand. Everyone. How many of you, yeah, there you go. Just start raising your hands right now. How many of you could use a little bit more peace in your life? Ain't nobody going to say, no, I'm good with my peace right now. It's okay. I don't need any more. Man, everyone can use more shalom peace in their life. But how do we experience the Prince of Peace? I will tell you right now, we do not encounter or experience the Prince of Peace in our strength. We do not. In our own strength, the way the world gives, we do not experience the Prince of Peace in our strength. We experience the Prince of Peace in our weakness, in a tender place that says, I need you, Jesus. I need you. So many people have wondered or asked me, why does someone always have to, why do you always have to have this rock bottom experience to come to Jesus? Not necessarily always this super deep rock bottom, my life has come to its end, you know, experience to come to Jesus. But I will tell you right now, in that place, a person can reach up with their hand and with everything in their heart say, I need you, Jesus. I have lost all of my strength and I am coming to you. I'm going to tell you the truth, guys. You ready to hear it? God will use every hard situation in your life to bring you to the understanding that you need to be weak. Allow yourself to be weak so you can call out to me. But you know what happens to us? So often, God allows us to experience things. This life is hard, right? And it kind of beats you down, wears you out. You're like, oh, man, this is hard. And then you pop back up and you just keep going on your merry way. At that point of being low, what he's asking is, would you come to me? Would you say, Jesus, would you speak into my heart? Would you be my strength? But we don't. We have this natural human tendency to depend on ourselves, to build that wall, to create peace and well-being within ourselves, to be our own strength. You can see this all throughout the Bible, all throughout the Old Testament. God would set these, like Gideon. Gideon's like, all right, we're going to go up against these guys. We have 30,000 people. God is like, what I want you to do is I want to get you down to 300 people against this massive army. Massive army. He's like, what? You know? But Gideon was in a place of weakness, and guess what God kept doing? He kept restoring him with strength. He gave Gideon sign after sign after sign. And there are two directions that people are moving in their hearts at any given time. Either they are building their own wall, trying to prop themselves up, give themselves strength, or they are moving towards Jesus. And they are saying, Jesus, you build that wall. Build that wall in me. Let me give you an example. Man, this is such a powerful example. I love the Apostle Peter. He is so perfect. Right? Almost everyone is like, I relate to Peter and not to Paul, unless you are really, really deceived. You're like, Paul seems perfect. Peter seems, you can just see it. It's written there forever. But Peter is the perfect example of a guy who thinks, I am strong. I can do this. I can do this. Yes, that's exactly right. Matthew 26, after the Last Supper, it says, then Jesus told them, this very night you will fall away on account of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. Peter replied, even if all fall away, listen to this confidence, man, and this really is us. Even if all fall away, I never will. Jesus said, truly I tell you, this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And then Jesus, maybe you haven't caught this second time, Peter completely disagreed with Jesus. When he declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. You are wrong, Jesus. That's what he said. You're wrong. I know you're saying that, but you're wrong. This guy is so caught up in his own strength. He is confident in himself. And Jesus is working. So remember how I said, God will use every hard time in your life to teach you how to begin to rely on him. Every single time, he's just calling you. Would you rely on me this time? And we pop back up. Would you rely on me this time? Let me build the wall. And we pop back up. We push him off. We say, I can do it. I'm making it. I'm making it. This is going to work out. Peter does deny Jesus three times. And it is a powerful, humbling experience. But Jesus is going further. He's going to go further with Peter. He's going to go all the way to take him to the place of, Peter, I need you to hear this. He's saying, Peter, I need you to hear that if you don't build your life off of me, it's not going to work. You're not going to make it. So Jesus finds them out fishing, right? He's died, he's been buried, he's resurrected, and he's been appearing to his disciples and people. And he appears to them on a beach and he calls them in. And Peter, man, he just jumps out of the boat. He jumps out of the boat, starts swimming in. I've always thought that this is kind of interesting. So the others are coming in on the boat and Peter is swimming. Did they pass him? That's kind of what I always think of him like, yeah, it wasn't the best idea. So they were eating some fish around a fire. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. I think Simon or Peter is still in this place of, you know, I can do this. I can do this. He's trying to hold himself up. And Jesus is taking him to that place of weakness. And Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. A third time, he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him the third time. He said, Lord, you know all things. I think he's down to a humbled place. You know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. I think at this point, Peter is hearing. He's understanding. Peter, you need me. I'm the one. I'm the Prince of Peace. Let me build you, Peter. God actively works. I'll tell you, this is my belief wholeheartedly. God actively works. He has been actively working in all of our lives. I mean, we usually think of ourselves like, oh, here, I wasn't a Christian, then I became a Christian, and now I've been learning from God. No, I guarantee you, this is my sense. God knit you together in your mother's womb. He watched you come into this world. He watched you be brought forth. He was there with you. He saw his child, and he loved you. Man, I hold my daughter, Emma, she's 4 months old, and I just think, oh my gosh, my heart is just about to explode. I just love her so much. And do you think for 1 second God loved you any less? And he watched you come into this world, and he knew this world is going to twist you up. It's going to twist you. And then in your own sin, you're going to twist yourself up even more. You're going to learn the wrong way. Jesus said, I don't give like the world gives. But you've learned, we've all learned it. We've all learned the world's way, right? And God has watched us. And there's been many times in our lives before we were Christians as children, he is directing us. He is impacting us. He's drawing our hearts. He's allowing us to go through things. And he's saying, I'm drawing you. I'm setting you up. I'm giving you a chance to call upon me and let me build the wall. And for many years, many of us denied that. We wouldn't allow it. He was doing it either way. And now, if you've given your life to Jesus, you recognize that. Hopefully, you're recognizing that. Oh my gosh, this whole time before he was setting me up and where I am now, this whole thing makes sense. He's with me. God actively works to get your heart to this place. And it is in this place of weakness or this place of just saying, Jesus, you're the only way. You're the one that I need. He can move. This is why Paul in 2 Corinthians can say, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Worship band, you guys can come back up. I don't know where you're going to go. I'm going to just move down here anyways, Roger. Sorry, bro. I just called Roger bro. Sorry, Papa. Okay, so here I am. Here I am in my house with my daughter. Okay, she's shattered. Oh, yeah, I'll switch you. You want me to take my... Oh, man, Barkley. Sorry about that. I'm sitting in my house with my daughter. She's shattered. And I truly believe this is a point. This is a point for her and for me. We can choose to build up that wall. I can choose to give to her like the world gives to her. Or I can choose to teach her to let Jesus build that wall. So she's telling me, Dad, it was my first time sharing the love of Jesus. And they told me that they didn't want to be my friend. And I asked her, Eva, that they didn't want to be your friend after you shared the love of Jesus with them. What does that say about you? She's getting really good at this. We want to process our children's hearts regularly. Jesus wants to process our hearts regularly, right? He wants to find out what's motivating you. What's pushing you back to that place of trying to prop up your wall or fix your wall? And she said, well, that they didn't want to be my friend after I shared the love of Jesus with them. It says that I'm a bad gospel sharer. That's another phrase that my kids came up with. I just love it. I'm a bad gospel sharer. And I'll never be good. That's definitely a broken place in her wall, in the person of who Eva is. It's been broken, right? I said, Eva, can I ask what Jesus would tell you? Can I ask what he would want to say to you right now? She said, yes. I said, okay, baby, close your eyes and just listen in your heart for what he would tell you. I said, Jesus, Eva believes that she's a bad gospel sharer. And that because of that, she'll never be good. What would you like to tell her right now? I saw this child who is broken and completely in her weakest place, shattered. Listen for Jesus. And he spoke to her. It's pretty simple, but he said, I am glad you shared. I didn't prompt her or anything like that. I just tell her to listen. It's okay, whatever you hear. This is what she felt like she heard. I am glad that you shared. I was with you. And you are a good gospel sharer. And you should see that little girl go from a shattered face to just kind of relaxing on the couch and looking over at me. And I'm asking her, how does that make you feel? How do you feel now? And she smiles. I feel good. Is there anything else in there that hurts in your heart that Jesus can speak to? And she's like, no, it's okay now. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I don't want to teach my kids to just build that wall. And of course we're going to give them practicals and let them know things. You know, honey, they just didn't know. Daddy shared the gospel many times with people. And if it's their first time or if it's one of the first times, we're just the first ones to start putting that little seed in their heart. So we're going to give them practicals. But what I really want, I want to teach my kids. I want to teach myself. Mark, in your weakest moment, do not pop yourself back up and build your strength. Build your peace. Don't try and give yourself shalom. It will not work. So what do I recommend? Don't you go building that wall. Don't you go building the wall of your life. You've been taught to do it. You have been. I have been. Man, I know some amazing ways to get through this life. This is a hard paradigm shift, especially for those of you in this room who are very capable people. You are a very capable, strong person, most college educated, you know. It's like, I can do this. I know this. Don't you go building that wall any longer. For me, what this has increased is just many more times now, just real quickly, it's like, you know, I really don't know what to do here. I don't know why I'm feeling this, but I'm just going to, let's just ask Jesus. Let's just start talking with him. It's the second thing that I recommend is that you learn to talk with Jesus. You learn to pray. Become an expert at it. Press into it. Learn it. Learn to pray. Learn to talk with Jesus. And do it a whole lot. Just spend tons of time with him. There's just nothing you can do. You can't replace time, quality time, right? Even with a significant other, you can't spend a little bit of time and expect to know them, to experience them. You have to spend time with Jesus, with the Prince of Peace, and he will give you his peace. It'll just begin to just flow through you. One more practical I want to give you is just to start prayer journaling. There was a lady who spoke to our staff team, or at our staff conference, and there's, you know, 250 pastors and staff there, and she just like wrecked us all. She's this counselor, and she's like talking about all our insecurities, and who has this insecurity, and they're raising their hands, and everyone's being super real. And I asked her afterwards, I was like, okay, man, that was so good, so powerful. Can you tell me what is something you do to allow Jesus to not only heal your heart, but build you up? And she gave me the simplest answer. It's such a good answer. She's like, I prayer journal. And what that is you write two sentences. The first one is, God, I feel this. Jesus, I feel this. I feel so embarrassed, so ashamed, so sad, angry at this thing. The second sentence is, what would you like to tell me about that? And then just listen. Just listen and write it down. Yeah, I know that this is difficult, right? It's going to take faith. Might take you out of your comfort zone, but just write it down. Begin to learn to hear the voice of God. Like I said, I think Jesus, you have no idea how much, I don't think any of us does, how much he's watched you. He watched you come into this world, and just like our children that we hold in our hands, I'm holding my four-month-old and I'm thinking, I want to protect you from everything. He wants that same thing, but he knows the route to it. The route to it is that you would continue to come to him. Not build up your strength, but come to him in weakness and ask him, Jesus, what do you want to tell me? Learn to interact with him. Man, he loves you. Father, God, would you give this blessing to our church? Would this be a culture that is cultivated in our hearts? We know that we need you, God. Would you take us to this place of weakness? And when we're there, would we seek you and seek your heart? Hear from you and let you build our wall. In Jesus' name, amen.